So it's been an interesting week as I got ready for today's message. So I joke a lot about sermons.com, and there really is a sermons.com, but I don't buy things from sermons.com. You have to pay for it. You really do. Used to, sermons.com was free like forever ago, but now you got to pay for it. I've actually had people say, hey, you know, you ought to put your material up on sermons.com. The problem is no one can understand the mind behind this. It's a maze. You say, well, what does that look like? Well, up here in just a moment ago when the worship team was singing, or they were singing, your word is like honey on my lips, over on channel one, I saw the Cheerios honeybee flying around Jacob's head. And he has that little, what's it called? I call it a wand, but it's not a wand. It has the honey. Does it have a real name? A dipper? Yes, yeah. So there's not a real name? Okay. A honey dipper. Okay. If you're going to Google right now, don't stay there. But in my mind, it's a crazy place. So this week I had visually, so I begin with, you know, an idea, and then when I build the presentation, if it's not in a sermon series, you'll see there's some continuity in it. But when we're doing these topical messages, they're all brand new. And so I kind of begin to go this way. Well, I started with a theme in my visuals, and then I just found myself feeling kind of funky. You like that, Ronnie? So today, you're going to see a theme today. I started feeling really funky, and so the theme today is neon. I was just really in a funky mood. So the conversation that spurred this was this. Does every person who has victory in Jesus enjoy a victorious life for Jesus? Is that a default experience? And so that's really the question behind the question today. So today, I want us to talk about how to enjoy a victorious life in Jesus. Can we agree? Maybe we can't. But can we agree sometimes some Christians are the most miserable people you'll meet? Can we agree? Does anyone feel really bad even thinking that? Because right now, if you've met one, you're looking at them on your visual screen. I'm telling you what, sometimes people who claim the name of Christ can be the biggest sourpusses you'll ever want to meet. It's like they go to church and they sit and they soak and they just sour. But you can have a victorious life in Christ. You can be victorious in Christ and have a victorious life for Christ. But does one automatically default to the other? So we're going to look at that today. So how important is the theme of victory in the Bible and the Christian life? How important is it? Well, I don't know about you, but I don't like losing. I don't like losing nothing. I told you before, if my mom and I were playing basketball and she brought that into the lane, she's getting fouled. That's right. Listen, if winning and losing doesn't matter, don't keep score. But I'm telling you this, if winning and losing doesn't matter, I'm probably not playing. Because I play to win. Now, I can lose graciously. And there's lessons, there are very valuable lessons in losing. I'll just toss this in. That's why we don't need participation ribbons. Oh, I didn't say that. But anyway, but how important is the theme of victory? Well, Ronnie, we're just going to get it out of the way early today. I want to give you something a little free. And now you're going to see where the funky thought process began. So how many Christian songs are there with victory as their themes? Now, the number I'm giving you is distinctively Christian songs. There's a lot of music, obviously, but how many distinctively Christian songs are there that have victory as their theme? Anybody want to guess? How many? That is one. That's the best one. That is one. That's true. But how many total? 319. Okay. Anybody else? 2,938. And that is just from our song select. And you say, what's that? All of the music you see up here during worship we access through Song Select. That's our software that gives us all those things. So there are 2,900 plus songs with that theme. That's pretty important, isn't it? We sang about victory today, didn't we? We didn't sing victory in Jesus, but we sang about victory today. How many times is victory used in the Bible? You're like, because you're thinking a whole lot. I know, you know, you're thinking a whole lot. Well, how about this? It's used 40 times in the Bible, but there are three Hebrew words and three Greek words that are used for victory. So it's not used as much as we have songs for, but it is used, and it's used in both languages with six different words. That's how broad and important it is. And then lastly, how many books on victorious Christian living are there on Amazon? Now, these are distinctively Christian authors and themes, okay? Because Amazon's a big thing, right? So how many books are out there if we were going to go buy a book? That's part of the challenge today. There's a lot of books. Currently, there are 245 books in this very narrow field on Amazon. So victory is a very important theme. Now, the question on the table is this. Does having victory in Jesus, words matter, does having victory in Jesus guarantee that you will live a victorious Christian life or a victorious life for Jesus? Two different things, okay? So that's the question on the table. So we have to start somewhere, and so we're going to start here. To better understand where we want to be, now I don't know about you, but I want to be victorious in Jesus, amen? Okay, so only right here wants to be victorious. I don't think you do at all. But for... To better understand where you want to be, you must establish where you are. You've got to know where you are to figure out where you're going. Amen? Well, the question I want to ask you is this. Are you victorious in Jesus? And you're going, okay, Jimmy, is this a trick question? No, it really isn't. And it's a very important question. And it's an important question because it needs to be answered. And so we're going to answer today. Have you personally received his gift of forgiveness and salvation for your sins? You say, well, I think so. Okay. And that's good, but I'm a simple guy. Let me clarify. Let me make it easy. I'm about to give you a pass-fail test. You like those? Huh? Pass-fail, if you've never had that privilege, is if you only can pass it or fail it. There's no point in between. There's not a C. Either you're a pass or a fail. And so I'm about to ask you one question on this pass-fail exam, and only you can answer it. And I want you to answer it in the quietness of your heart. Here is the question. If God were to ask you, why should I allow you into my heaven? What would be your answer? Now, don't say it out loud. And what it's interesting right now, there's a lot of thoughts going on, okay? If God were to ask you a pass-fail, one-question test, why should I let you into my heaven? What do you think you would say? Well, let me give you a biblical answer, amen? Let's look. John 3:16, most famous, well-known verse of the Bible says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." So we see that God wants to save us from something, and to something, amen? He wants to save us from something and to something. And you're asking, well, what are they? And you ask such great questions. Well, Romans 6:23 tells us this, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gracious gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Here we see it. God is wanting to save us from our sins and save us to eternal life. It's just that simple. Now, a lot of times, we complicate it. We start hanging a lot of ornaments on the tree. But here it is. God wants to save you from something to save you to something. And so the question we want to answer is, God, if God were to ask me, Jimmy, why should I let you into my heaven? And you'd go, well, but Jimmy, you're a pastor. Yes, I am. And some days, I'm a marginally good one. Jimmy, you're whatever. Okay, but can I say this? That's not the right answer. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous, so that he will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confession and repentance results in victory in Jesus. It's not what I do or I do not do. It's not a title that I hold or how long I hold it. It's that I have confessed my sins and repented. That is what gives me victory in Jesus. Singing the song's great, but if you haven't confessed and repented, you don't have victory in Jesus. And it's in Jesus that we have to start. Romans 10:13 says this, for everyone, let's say the word everyone together, everyone. Let's say it one more time, right back in that corner. I didn't hear it real well. Everyone. Do you know who everyone is? That's you. And that's everyone that you know. That's everyone that you like. And it's everyone you don't like. It's Republicans and it's Democrats. It's open carry. It's we all shouldn't have them carry. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I'm thankful because I'm an everyone. And I'm thankful that I can stand up here today and tell you that by God's authority, everyone can be saved from something and to something. Regardless of where you've been, regardless of what you've done, regardless. And I'm so thankful for that because I'm a recipient of that. Psalms 20:6 says this, now this I know, the Lord gives victory to his anointed. He answers from his heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power of his right hand. God blesses and God gives victory to those who are his. So, what does being victorious in Jesus afford you? What is your return on investment? You see what I did right there, Jeff? What's your return on investment? First of all, you get victory from the penalty of sin. What is that? Eternal separation from God. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Eternal separation from God. But the gift of God is eternal life. Victory from the penalty of sin. I was guilty. I was due a penalty, but by the grace of God, through his mercy, that penalty was paid for me. Amen? And so I have been freed from the penalty of sin. Secondly, you can be freed, you can have victory over the power of sin. What does that mean? When you have victory in Jesus, God puts his DNA inside of you. He puts his character inside of you. Now, your person doesn't go away yet. That's the reason you get to wrestle. But you have the power to be victorious. The Bible says that apart from Christ, we are slaves to sin. I don't know about you, but there were plenty of Friday nights into Saturday morning, and I go, oh, I'll never do that again until Saturday night and Sunday morning. But because of victory in Jesus, I now have victory over the power of sin. I have the power to say no. The Bible says, resist the devil and he must flee. Amen? And then lastly, and most sweetly of all, we can have victory from the presence of sin. What does that mean? One day heaven. One day, I get the privilege of dwelling in God's sinless heaven. And the answer to the question, Jimmy, why should I let you into my holy, sinless heaven is this. Jesus. Nothing more and nothing less. He's all my victory. And so the question I need to ask you today is this. Have you received that victory? 1 Corinthians says this, when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will become true. Death has been swallowed up into victory. There is no more death in my life. When my earthly body, my earthly tent is folded up, oh, I'm winning big time, ladies and gentlemen. Because I will step from this world into eternity with Jesus. And I love this place, Lord knows, but heaven is still better. And so, do you have this victory in Jesus? Have you personally experienced this victory? And if not, simple question, why not? Now, there's a lot of answers to this question. It could be no one's ever told you. You may be just simply ignorant, and I don't mean that in the you just don't know the information. Now, you would think in America that's a hard truth, but there are people who just, they just don't know. So you could just not know. Secondly, you could just not want. Some people look and they go, oh, man, if I'm a Christian, all it is do's and don'ts. Well, that's so misguided and incorrect. Sadly, and more often than I wish, somewhere someone or a group of someones jaded you. And they did things under the guise of religion that quite honestly did not accurately reflect and resemble what God would have them to do. Now, I'm not excusing them, but what I am saying this is please don't make that your excuse not to love the Lord, because the frailty, sinfulness, and foolishness of man is not the same as a holy, loving, righteous God. So my friend, if that is where you are today, I beseech you, please ask God to bring you beyond that, because the only person who's being robbed is you. Because I would have to think that that person or those people are all far down the road from now, and the only one who's missing out is you. So have you done it? And if not, why not? Simple question. So it's as easy as ABC. If you don't know how, it's as easy as ABC. Do you like this neon theme? Are you digging it yet? I'm telling you, I was in a funky mood. A is simply this: admit. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We have to admit that we're sinners. And if you don't think you're a sinner because you're lying to yourself. Do you know how I know that I'm a sinner? Sin simply means to miss perfection. Now, the perfection is God's perfection, not your perfection. But the reason I know that I'm a sinner is, you know what? I don't even meet my own expectations. Ronnie, I don't eat just one block of Hershey bar. I eat the whole Hershey bar. And I'm disappointed, but I like it. I'm a sinner. And you're a sinner. You can't live up to your own expectations. And what's even worse is you can't live up to everybody else's. Can I just tell you this? Being a pastor, everyone has an idea of what you should be. And I try really hard. But, you know, I don't bat 1,000. So we must admit, if I can't live up to my expectations and I can't live up to others' expectations perfectly, then by default, logic demands that I cannot live up perfectly to the expectations of a perfect God. Seems logical. B means you must believe. What do I believe? Well, I believe the sun will come out tomorrow, little orphan Annie says. I believe I can fly, the song says. But believe means this: believe on Jesus. Not just in the historical fact of a man named Jesus, but believe on what Jesus did and who he is and why you need him. And we just talked about that. And C means to confess. Now, that's a legal term. Confess means to come into agreement. When I was a much younger man, I liked to drive much faster than I do today. And the problem with driving much faster is you tend to go see people called judges. And when you get there, the problem with meeting the judge is they have the facts and you just have your opinion. And confession is when you say, "Judge, what you say is true. I'm guilty." And so when we confess to the Lord, we confess that we are in need of something we can't produce. We confess that we're sinners. And we, by default and by nature and sometimes by choice, fall short of qualifying for a holy heaven. We must admit that we're sinners. We must believe on Jesus. And we must confess that we agree with God. That's the case. Now, once we've done those three things, what do we do? Well, some people will have a lot of different ideas. But the Bible says that by faith through grace, we can pray and receive Jesus as our Savior. We can go from imperfect to perfect. And we're going to talk a little bit about that in a minute, and I'm going to have to get on with it. Holy moly. Let's get on with it. It says, Acts 3:19 says this: "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." I don't know about you. You need a little refreshing? And so we pray and we place our faith in Jesus, and God's Son places His holiness on us and His Spirit in us, and we exchange our sinfulness for what He did. And I'd like to take just a moment. It's going to be a very quick moment. I'm not going to try to talk you into anything, but I would be absolutely liable if I didn't give you a chance, an opportunity to respond and be saved from something to something. Let's bow our heads right now, please. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I don't know where you are. I don't know where you've come from. I don't know what you're feeling, what you're thinking. You may be saying, I didn't come here this morning to become a Christian. That's cool. But my friend, I'm telling you today that God wants to save you from something and to something. And the to something only comes when you find victory in Jesus. And we're only in Jesus when we come to Him by faith through grace. And my friend, you need to do that. You need to do it for yourself. And you need to do it today, because eternity stands a breath away from you. And wherever eternity finds you, it will keep you. And you will spend eternity in one of two places. Either in a place eternally separated from God, and the Bible calls it hell, or a place holy and sinless and perfect, and the Bible calls it heaven. That's the only two options. And after the grave finds us, there is no second chance. There is no get out of jail free. My friends, this decision is literally life and death. And you can choose today. And I hope that you'll choose today. I want you to choose today because it's what's best for you. Now understand, you're not being asked to join this church. You're not asked to be join a denomination. You're not being asked for any amount of money. God doesn't need any of that. He wants you. That's what I'm asking you to do today. That's what I'm inviting you to do today. And so if that's your desire today, either here in person or here online, and you'd say, Jimmy, today I want to be victorious in Jesus, I would invite you to whisper this prayer from your heart to God's ears. It's not the prayer that saves you, it's the faith that saves you. I would whisper something like this: Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that there is nothing I can do to save myself. I confess my complete helplessness to forgive my own sin or to work my way into heaven. At this moment, I trust Christ alone as the one who bore my sin and when He died on the cross. I ask for your forgiveness, the forgiveness only you can offer. I ask your Son, Christ Jesus, to be my Savior. Help me to know and to love you more day by day. Give me a home in heaven when my life on earth is through. In Jesus' name, amen. So, if that's you, would you please share your victory with me? And you can do that. And this is a simple, short way. Ronnie, do you see that flip phone right there? That's for you, baby. That is for you. That is completely for you. So let's take next steps, and they're going to have to be quick steps, maybe a fast two-step. Ecclesiastes 12, what are some choices we need to make if we're going to be victorious? We're victorious in Jesus by faith through grace. Now, how can we be victorious with Jesus? Ecclesiastes 12 tells us this: to remember also your Creator in the days of your youth before the evil days come and the years approach when you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Step number one is learn to obey God early in your life. Amen? Yes. Anybody wish you'd started a little bit earlier? Can I say this? Parents, grandparents, friends of kids, aunts, uncles, it is imperative that we lead our children in learning to follow God in their youth. And we lead them first and foremost by our example. And we lead them by what we teach them. We lead them by bringing them under the instruction of God's word. My friends, it is imperative, and we have a responsibility to do that. Secondly, it's easier when you start younger. For those of you that are younger here today, your life will be so much easier if you trust and follow the Lord in your youth. It's easier when you're young. Trust me. Also, it saves you. It can save you from a lifelong consequence. My friends, there are things that can be decided in our young, in our youthfulness that'll touch the balance of our lives. And when we choose to obey God early in our lives, we just might avoid one of those consequences. And lastly, there's the principle of compounding interest. It's true in banking, but my friends, it's also true in life. If you choose the world and the way of the world, my friend, there's a compounding interest. Poor choices lead to poor choices, and poor choices lead to compounding misery. However, if you choose the way of the Lord, good choices, righteous choices, holy choices also have a compounding interest. Because when you choose the Lord, then He gives you people. It wasn't until I chose Jesus that He gave me my bride. And it wasn't until I chose my bride that He gave me my children. And it wasn't until I chose my children that He gave me my granddaughter and my family, my kids by birth. There's a law of compounding interest, my friend. And when you choose to follow the Lord in your youth, it is good and it is profitable. Be determined to live above sin. Hebrews 6:1 says, therefore, leaving the elementary teachings about the Christ, let us press on to maturity. To live above, to grow up in the Lord. Brothers and sisters, friends and foes, you got to grow up. Just like a child, you want your child to grow up. We love them when they're young, but we want them to grow up. We want them to mature. We too have to mature. We have to identify all, even your pet, sins and sinful behavior. You know what your pet sin might be. You know. Right now, you're in your head, you're looking around, you're going, does anyone else know? You've got to identify all sin and sinful behavior. And work on it. And work on it. Fill your mind and your heart with the truths of God's word. The only way to have victory with Jesus is to see sin for what it is and work on it and replace it with righteousness. You create a void, and depending on what you put in that void is going to have a positive or negative effect. Nothing remains void. I remember the day my sweet bride and I took our son to kindergarten. And we get in the car, and we're both crying. You know how it is. I was crying manly, though. And my bride goes, well, what am I going to do now? I said, well, honey, what do you mean? Well, my bride was a homemaker, and she had invested, and now he's at school. What am I going to do? And I said, oh, hon, don't worry. Those voids don't remain empty. Isn't that right, Melinda? Yeah. So when you take something out, you need to put something in. Fill your mind and fill your heart with God's word and His truths. Share an active church life. You're saying, oh, Jimmy, you're always preaching the company line. Can I tell you this? God created the church for a reason. It's not just something we call you to so we could count attendance. God created church life for a reason. It's beneficial to us. And we need to be actively involved in worship. Can I tell you this? I love singing, and I sing incredibly well in the shower, but I like singing here with you more. It sounds a little bit like heaven, corporate worship. And in the work, is there anything better than working for Jesus? Making a difference when you can? Sometimes it's almost self-serving because I feel better than what I think I'm doing. And then to witness, we need to be showing the world Jesus. What our world needs isn't government programs. What our world doesn't need is more legislation. What our world needs is Jesus. They need to be transformed, just like you and me. We must flee temptation. Romans 13:14 says this, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in sinful regard to lust. You must identify your weakness, and you know what it is. An alcoholic has no business going into a liquor store. You know why? You got to know your weakness. My friend, you need to know your weakness. It could be a place. It could be a person. It could be a place on the internet. You know what it is. And the question is, what do I do about those areas of weakness? Don't go there. How about that? What a novel thing. Don't go there. Choose not to take a taste. You know what happens when you play with snakes? You get bit. Do not, and I repeat, do not believe that you can play with sin and make it your pet. Because like we've said before, and I'll say right now, sin will take you further, it will keep you longer, and it'll cost you more than you ever intended to pay. When the Bible says flee, it means get the heck out of Dodge. Mentally, if you're contemplating or pondering or meditating on something sinful, it takes 10 minutes to change your mind. Get up and go do something. Guys, novel, go clean the house. It won't hurt you. Flee emotionally. And flee physically. My friends, get out of Dodge. What we feel will affect what we think, and what we think will affect what we do. That's the fact, Jack. Psalm 44:7 says this, "But you give us victory over our enemies. You put our adversaries to shame." You want victory with Jesus? When you sin temptation, you get to scooting, boot scooting like Tanya's song. Be patient. Luke 8:15 says this, but the seed in good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word with good and virtuous hearts and hold it firmly and produce fruit with perseverance. Can I say this? Real and lasting transformation takes time. We live in a microwave society expecting long-term transformation. Doesn't happen. Doesn't happen. And so you have to be patient and you have to be persistent. Becoming a seasoned saint doesn't happen overnight. And it doesn't come easily either, but that's a whole different sermon. Good seed, good soil, good scrutiny. That means you got to put truth in, good soil, your heart, you got to keep it right. And good scrutiny means this, you're honest. You're honest with yourself, and you're honest, you let other people be honest with you. A little accountability goes a long, long way. It will include trial and error. Guess what? You're not going to bat 1,000. Get over it. How about this? Sometimes you just got to love you a little you. Can I tell you who really, really hates to drop the ball? You can ask my bride. But I'm just like you. Trial and error. Sometimes I win and sometimes I lose. But I can tell you, I'm better than I was. Amen? And so sometimes I've got to give myself a break. And I don't always take my own prescription. I just want you to know I'm a hypocrite. It will require and create humility. Can I say this? Seeking victory with Jesus will create humility because you're going to fail. And when you fail, that means you're going to have to seek forgiveness, either from the Lord or from others. Psalm 149 says this, "For the Lord takes delight in his people and he crowns the humble." Let's say that word together, humble. Right over here, y'all aren't digging it. Let's say that word one more time, humble. Humility is the bedrock of victorious living. It will require self-forgiveness. Sometimes you just got to forgive yourself. It will require giving and seeking forgiveness. When we fall short, and we will be required to seek forgiveness from the Lord, for ourselves, and sometimes from others. Do you need to seek forgiveness from someone? Pray often. 1 Thessalonians 5 says this, "Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God." How many times do I hear people go, Well, what is the will of God? Well, this is. It actually says it. What's the will of God? Pray without ceasing. Okay? So if you don't get anything else today, you know one will of God. Communication is essential to any healthy and productive relationship. Amen? Are y'all under conviction right now? Communication is essential between spouses, parents and children, co-workers, you and God. How can you love? How can you know if you don't communicate? Prayer is simply communicating with the Lord. Share with the Lord with what is on your mind and your heart. And how about this? Just be honest. Just be honest. Too many people try to snow God. And you can't. You're exactly right, brother. You just go to the Lord in truth and you be honest with him. He already knows what's in your mind. He already knows what's in your heart. You go to him and you be honest. That's that confession. When what he already knows and what you're communicating with is an agreement, therein lies confession. Be honest. God can take it. Listen to God's guidance. Well, how do I get that? Well, let me give you 5 points. First, through the written word, the Bible. You can't know God unless you read his love letter to you. Do something every day to engage in God's word, whether it's a whole lot or a little bit, but do something every day. You hear God through his written word. You hear God through prayer when you're communicating in him. And then when we zip our lips and listen, 2 ears, 1 mouth, do the math, through wise counsel of others, when you're unsure, you've gone to the word and you've prayed, get wise counsel from others. Guess what? Get wise counsel from people who are following the Lord, not just people who will qualify what you want. How about that? Through life experiences. How about that? Do you realize that you do not have to step on a landmine to know that a landmine will blow your leg off? Other people have done it. You don't have to do it. But you know what the devil does? The devil will lie to you, and he'll say this. It won't happen to you. How many times have you said it? How many poor decisions have we made? It starts within our minds, it won't happen to you, and it comes out our lips, hey, watch this. And then lastly, through your gray matter, God gave you a brain, use it. Redirect your life daily. Victory in Christ is a singular event. A moment in history, we find victory in Jesus. Someone may have just experienced that moment. Mine was on a church porch in 1987. Where was yours? However, victory through Christ is a day-to-day, event-by-event, and sometimes minute-by-minute choice. I'm saved, but victories come as I redirect and rededicate my life. Every day, you have to choose to surrender to the Lord. Sometimes it's event by event. If you're driving in Dallas at rush hour, there might be a whole lot of events. Sometimes it's minute by minute. When you're sitting in that ICU ward and that clock goes tick, tick, tick. I don't know. You know. But it's a choice of rededication. Victory takes commitment, work, and sacrifice. My friends, it doesn't come easy and it doesn't come cheap. Can I tell you one reason I believe there are so many believers who are so sour is because they won't put in the work. They just want to show up and put on the t-shirt. Well, that's just not the way biblical living works. It's just not. And it takes sacrifice. You got to say no to something to say yes to something else. Amen? But can I say this? Oh, it's more than worth it. Would anyone raise their hand in agreement with me that it's worth it? All right. So either you're all being truthful or you're all liars. So you'll have to decide, those of you that, you know, are still maybe on the fence. The question, does having victory in Jesus, that means being saved by grace through faith, being fit for a holy heaven, guarantee that you will live a victorious Christian life? And the answer is no. That's up to you. And the beautiful thing is we can do it together. Isn't that great? Part of the reason we come together is to encourage one another and to challenge one another and to teach one another and to admit our frailties and faults, where someone goes, oh, you mean Jimmy has those? But I thought he was a pastor. Well, ding, ding, ding goes the bell. I want to encourage you not only in my faith, but I want to encourage you in my weaknesses. So that in a moment when you feel weak, you go, okay, we're in this together. You know, the Bible calls the Holy Spirit our paraclete. It means it comes alongside. The best picture I can think of is, has anyone seen the logo for the Wounded Warrior Project? Where it has one soldier coming alongside and that's what paraclete looks like. The Holy Spirit comes and he helps us on the journey. Well, you and I paraclete each other. One day you're up here and maybe I'm down here, and you know what? You come down here and you help me. One day maybe you're down here and I'm up here and I come down here and I help you. The beautiful thing is we probably all won't be down here at the same time. Sometimes we are. But the beautiful thing is even if we're all down here at the same time, at least we're together in Jesus. Because one day heaven, when we're all going to be up here. Ooh, I got cold chills just thinking about that one right there. So my friends, the challenge today is this. Do you have victory in Jesus? Has there been a time? Has there been a place? And the pass-fail question, what would you say? Why should I let you into my heaven? And if you have victory in Jesus, are you living victorious for Jesus? It's hard work, but it's worth it. And it's our choice, day by day, moment by moment, event by event. Make the choice, do the work, make the sacrifice. It's worth it. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you for this day. And Lord, I thank you for the victory in Jesus. Lord, even after these decades, my mind is just overwhelmed that you would even do it for me. God, that you would even want me as I was. God, it's a struggle sometimes to think that you would want me even as I am today. Oh, but Lord, you sent Jesus. And I'm so thankful for that, that I have victory in Jesus. Lord, it's not that I'm good enough. It's that Jesus is perfect. And he has blanketed me with his perfection. That if you were to ask me, Jimmy, why should I let you into my heaven? I have but one answer. Please speak to Jesus. And I thank you for it. And Father, I pray for anyone under the sound of my voice right now, or anyone who might listen to this message anywhere in the world, that Lord, right now, if they have never found victory in Jesus, Lord, that they'll do it today. And Father, for us, help us to live a victorious life. Lord, we know some days are diamonds and some days are stones. But Father, help us to contend victoriously. Lord, help us to say no to something that we might say yes to the best. Lord, help us contend. Lord, help us to get up when we fall short. Help us to have mercy and grace towards those. And Lord, may they have mercy and grace towards us. Lord, may a world see broken and humbled and frail human beings with joy and love and purpose. Lord, that they might desire you. And we thank you that you are sufficient. And Father, we thank you. In the midst of days like these, we have the promise of one day heaven, where everything that is sinful in this life will be absent. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the privilege of prayer. And we thank you for the privilege of living and striving for a victorious life, for your glory, for our good, and for the sake of a testimony to a lost and dying world. For it's in Christ's name that we pray these things. Amen.